Tonight's lesson, coming from the book of Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, the first few verses. It's False Prophets, part 1. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jezaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelethi, the son of Benai, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, It is not near, let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and that we be the flesh. Therefore prophesize against them. Prophesize, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, Speak thus, saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel. For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in the city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, your slain whom you have laid in the midst of thee, they are the flesh, and this city is the cauldron. But I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. You have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. I will bring you out of you into the hands of strangers, and will execute judgments upon you. Ye shall fall by the sword, and I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof. But I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, for ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, that Pelethi the son of Benai died. Then I fell down upon my face and cried with a loud voice, and said, O Lord God, will thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? We see here where a false prophet and some of the false princes and leaders of the people that were leading the people wickedly and talking wickedly to the people, lying on God, prophesying and saying things that God hadn't brought about. And as an example, he had Ezekiel speak against Pelethi. And what came upon him is what comes upon all false prophets, death. You know, the punishment to a false prophet is immediate death. You know, it's not immediate, but it's death. Sometimes it's immediate, but to be a false prophet, you're to die. You're to die. That's what it is. And it's no fun. And the day we have more false prophets than at any other time. And Jesus Christ had prophesied this, that we would have more false prophets, and the churches are falling prey to false prophets, and they're leading away the many. There are many being misled by the false prophets, because the false prophets come in sheep's clothing. That don't mean like you didn't see it on a cartoon or something, with just a lamb skin laid on top of the wolf or whatever. These people, good-looking wife, good-looking speaker, they're charismatic, they can talk, they studied well and everything, and they have deceived a very many people, and Christ said that they would do this. Most people are under false prophets today. Out of 80% of the churches, most of them are false prophets. Most of them are false. Most of the churches are false. That's why you see them fighting against the churches in Revelation. That's why he said, was it going to be such a small amount of a small remnant? In verse 13, and it came to pass also that Pelethi the son of Benai died. Then I fell down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and say, Ah, Lord God, will thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? So all of these, most of the people that were in Israel or Judah died. The remnant that fled away was the ones that he brought back, and not all of them. Not all of them came back. That's one of the topics that are covered more in the Old Testament and New Testament. And Jesus spoke a whole lot about the false prophets and all his apostles, because that's the most dangerous thing. And that's the most dangerous thing is false teachers and false leaders. because throughout the book of Ezekiel, he's consistently talking about the false prophets. So we'll revisit again on this in a Bible study and preaching session. But some of the characteristics of the false prophet is that he draws away from complete allegiance to God. He draws you away from a complete allegiance to God. Most people now are not fully committed to God. They're more fully committed to the things of the world. They're committed to things other than God. And that's why the majority of the church stand in jeopardy of being deceived. Because their televisions, their time with their kids and entertainment, their spouses, their jobs, and all sorts of other things have their attention and not God. I don't know many people that God, studying of God and meditating upon God, takes the largest portion of their day. And whatever the largest portion of your day is you spend your time thinking of, doing, or whatever, more than less likely that's where your God is. He says, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart should be. And so, you know, if you're not meditating on God on your job, or when you're watching television, trying to draw the godly aspect out of what you're watching or what you're doing, that's a problem. In Deuteronomy 13:3-4, it says, if a prophet arises among you, or a dreamer of dreams, and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder he foretells to you come to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, gods you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with your entire being. You shall walk after the Lord your God and reverently fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cling to him. So that's what they come do, working signs and miracles and doing things. And as I told you, it's not the obvious false prophets. If you watch television, more than less likely you're watching a false prophet. 85% or 90% of them are false prophets. If you listen to that sermon audio in which we broadcast over with, you hear him use a name like Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, and all. We know all those are false prophets or whatever. And that's the hardest thing, to get people off there, you know. And that's who blaspheme the name of. That's, they're not, the ones they're deceiving are Broadway Christians. But what he's saying is, these people are working lying signs and wonders that don't make you be more faithful to God. It makes you be more faithful to them. In other words, it makes you more inclined to reach for your wallet or pocketbook to send them that love. But what happens is, there's a many of people shut in or at home and lazy and don't want to get out and go to church and do it the way God say. And it's so convenient just to watch it on television. But that's the broad way, more than less likely. These people have no intersection or any crossing with you. But the signs and wonders they do, the healings and things, what happened, those have you believing in the prophet and not in God. God sends those people along to draw you away, because to see, are you faithful to him? Are you faithful to a person that's preaching a message that he's done took some of the words of God out of context, but it's meant to deceive you, and God allows that deception because you're not fully after God. Your heart's not inclined after God. It's for getting what you want. You want that healing. You want that wealth. That's why the prosperity preachers and teachers are cashing in. They don't really actually preach on sin and repentance, but they tell you nice stories and little anecdotes and different teachings and books and things about themselves, about maybe something that's a vague thing in Scripture or whatever, but it's nothing in Scripture pertaining to salvation. They're not going to preach Acts 2:38 to you. They're not going to preach turning from sin, the remission of sin, the removal of sin, death, burial, and resurrection. They're not going to focus it in on that. They're going to focus in on the things of Scripture that itching ears like to hear, that you want to hear things. That's why they give you pleasant messages. The false prophet, another characteristic, is that he presumes upon the word of God. In other words, there's no clear scriptures to substantiate what they are saying. It's not scripturally sound. That's how they was able to, through Augustine and Constantine, the Catholic Church and all that, replace Sabbath day worship with Sunday worship. That's how they were able to establish Easter and Christmas, is that they presume, they say, well, this is the day Jesus was resurrected, so he moved that from Saturday to Sunday. Well, this was the day Jesus was born, so I think we should worship on this day. No scriptural validity to any of this. Peter says there's a more sure word of prophecy, that's the word of God. There's no scripture to back any of that up, but that's what the people accept in masses, and they do like they did John the Baptist, like they did Jesus, like they did Paul, like they did Isaiah, like they did Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and any other rest of the prophets. They'll kill you if you talk about Christmas. They'll kill you if you talk about Easter. They'll kill you if you talk about their Sabbath days. That's what he says. You are murderous, and that's what they do to the true prophets. The popular one says you're crazy. You're mad in that we're not going to listen to that. This is what's popular, and this is what the world likes. I was telling you about the young man who played for the Minnesota Vikings, lost his job because of the popularity of what the people were saying. But God never goes by popular opinion. It's not what's popular with the people. Verse 4 of that, what I just read, mentions obeying God's voice and keeping his commandments. But they more or less teach and tell you the commandments are done away with. They don't teach you obedience and walk in obedience. They just add Jesus to what you have, in that God's going to accept you just like you are. Not scripturally so. Not scripturally so. He says you have to deny yourself to come to him. You have to die to self. Everything which you have, you have to have a new heart, a new way of thinking. So now they put you in a comfort zone with God. Don't get dressed up to come to God. That's when the old people, that's when they had respect and reverence to God. They would say you got your Sunday go to meeting clothes on. But now it's come as you are. Nowhere in the Bible God tells you that. He says tell the people to wash and dress up to come in. But they have casual dress. They come in your pajamas. They have those things where you just come any kind of way. But not before God. Not any kind of way before the God of the universe. So we've brought God down to our level, and the false prophets are doing this, and the people, that's what the people want. And it says, this is a regular theme with God's true prophets, is pointing you to the commandments, of pointing you to the word of God. And if when God sent a prophet, usually that's what the priest was for, the teacher of the commandments and the laws of God and what God desired of you. The preachers and the priest and teachers were for that. Whenever a prophet would come to town, they knew they was in trouble. When Samuel come to town and say, Samuel, what's going on? They would be scared, because only when a prophet came, he came to warn you, you didn't transgress God. If you read any of the churches, do not like the Old Testament because it's too harsh of a God, not seeing that it's the same God. Because that God came with warnings, that those prophets came to warn the people that you didn't transgress God, you and your sin, you're about to get it. Whereas Jesus has become a stumbling block to them, because everything is forgiven in Christ and just do what you want to do. But Paul tells you, shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? God forbid. But the false prophets break down those borders of God, and that's why what you was reading, that those people were outside of the borders of God. They have found themselves outside of God's borders, and that's outside of God's law. That's outside of God's protection. Watch him who breaketh a hedge. Proverbs says, a serpent shall bite him. So prophets, true prophets, point you to your sin, to get away from your sin, to clean you up, to repent or turn from those sins. Another characteristics of the false prophets is that they teach lies. They teach lies. Isaiah 9:14-17. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, the highest and the lowest, high palm branch and low rush in one day. In other words, that's still poetic language. From your highest politicians, whatever they be, bishops, or whatever position they hold in the churches, to lowest members of the church, because the people that go forth for this corruption, or they wouldn't be doing it. They do these things. They are people pleasers. The reason the prophets do this, because it's popular with them to do these things to please people, or else they wouldn't be in that business. He says, the elderly and honored man, he is the head. You remember he was cutting off the leaders first, the elders, those that were in high honor and high esteem. And the prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For they who lead this people cause them to err. Your politicians today has what's led America astray. But the preachers was the ones behind that. The preachers and teachers behind that. That's why he comes back in Revelation, the fight against the church, because all these things he said is wrong with the church, he keep telling them to repent. But they don't preach these repentances. They don't preach that God has something against you. You got favor with God. You're all right. Everything is good. This is your best life now. That's what they're saying. Peace, peace, peace. And they say, they preach peace when it is no peace, instead of healing their wound. He says, for they who lead these people cause them the error, and they who are led astray by them are swallowed up and destroyed. Therefore the Lord will not rejoice over their young men, neither will he have compassion on their fatherless and the widows. People talking about the way finances is, the way the world is today, that's because from the richest to the poorest, you can go to any ghetto, you can go to any housing project. But those children are taught about Nikes, Michael Jordans, what type of vehicle, iPhones, all these material things. These children are not instructed. So the whole thing, the fatherless, even they're teaching them wrong things. The parents are teaching them these wrong. That's all they have on their minds. That's why he says, he's going to destroy them all. Therefore, the fathers, I won't rejoice at them. That's why they're getting gunned down in the streets. He says, for everyone is profane and an evildoer. All of them, listen in Isaiah, all of them are evildoers. And every mouth speaks folly or foolishness. For all this, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out in judgment. He's going to judge this nation. You had better get straight. You'd better make sure you're right with God. As I said before, another characteristic is he's popular with people. Jesus only had 120 people left in his ministry. It's not because he was a failure. Noah only had 8 people on the boat. It wasn't because he was a failure. Elijah said he was the only one that was serving God. It wasn't because he was a failure. It's the broad way is the way that many go. The mega churches, the thousands, because the wolves are paying the building payment. The people that want to hear these smooth things and want you to tell them they're all right, you can't preach against that or you'll run them away. That's too offensive. Jeremiah 5 and 31 says, the prophets prophesize falsely, and the priests exercise rule at their own hand and by means of the prophet. The second portion of this verse is what's key. My people love to have it so. They love to have it to where they want to hear smooth, easy thing. Their ears don't want to hear that you're wrong, that you got to straighten your life up. No one wants to hear that they have problems in their life, that they're not doing right. But that's what God's prophets do. They preach the hard message. And Paul was telling Timothy, there's going to come a time when men not going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to stay around hard preaching. When Jesus preached hard, they say, this is a hard saying. You say, who can receive this? They'll not go follow after holiness. But his he says, but what will you do when the end comes, though? What will you do then? I was at a funeral Saturday, and the preacher at the end, he was singing a song, what are you going to do when you have to meet God face to face? What you going to do when you stand before God? Why is it that you didn't do what he told you to do? It's not going to be an excuse. You can't blame it on the false prophet. He was only doing what you love to hear. You love darkness rather than light. You can't blame it on anyone else. You can't blame anybody else for your faults and failures, for you not getting right. He does not unify the house of God. He does not unify. There's not a message of unification. In other words, most of those people are in there are self-centered. They're greedy. They only wants to know what's going to profit them. What type of cars. If you notice in these churches, most of the people and the people, the prophets and the preachers and the leaders and the people brag on material things. They don't say, I got a car or whatever. They say, I got a Lexus. I got a Cadillac. I drive a Benz. I got a yacht. I got jets, a Mercedes. They preach what they got. They don't say what type clothing they have. I got a pair, whatever name brand's the highest. They name the highest. That little phone, I got an iPhone. I have an iPad. They're naming things, even the poor of the people. They could be on a governmental supplement. They're not going on what the government is paying for. They don't want the Borden or the Kraft cheese. They don't want the Kellogg's. They don't want the name brand cereal. They gonna come up there. They know what's on that wick, but they go want to try to get that name brand. They gonna say where they eat at. What? It's always a label of how much they make or what's in it. Their mind is on covetousness things. They're covetous. It's all about them. That's what the biggest argument in this nation was, that instead of preaching unity, they've divided it about health care. We got ours. They don't need theirs. Let them pay for their own. When it would be cheaper if everybody would pool it together. But they're insensitive. They don't care. They are only concerned with their prosperity. No one else's. No one else's well-being. And that's what the preachers preach. And the churches are steadfast. They're preaching and teaching. They grind that into the people. That's why the nation is the way it is. Why do you think, as they say, this is a Christian nation, why do you think the polls are so strong against it? Because it's the Christians voting against this. It was Judah going against what was right. They were worse than the other nations. They were more corrupt than the other nations. Hateful. Hate. And some people hate to see anybody else prosper, hate to see anybody else with something. And they just got that hateful attitude, that disposition. They're haters. That's a characteristic that false prophets puts in there in teaching and everything, because his preaching and teaching doesn't unify. He doesn't cause death to self. He doesn't cause humility to be in the people. They're going to be spiritually just like he is. Now the ones that are in churches that are not like the pastors, those are the disobedient ones. Those are the ones that's waggling. And they, it's hard to say a lot of times, because see, if it's a good church, all of the members doesn't designate how that church is or how that pastor is, because that member could not be towing the line of what that church preaching or teaching. He could be just coming in there, sitting up there, knowing what the rules say, but not abiding by those rules, not obeying those rules. That's why Paul said that he was among false brethren. See, it's not only just false prophets and false teachers. There are false brethren in the church that say they do this and say they'll do that, but they don't do it. Their heart's not there. The greater sign is what are they doing in their lives, what they're living. They deny God in the way that they live their lives. Now, you know what they're saying, because they're hypocritical. They say one thing and they do another. Another characteristic, F, is they're mostly about gain. It's all in a kit and caboodle. It's about gain. Micah 3 and 5, the Old Testament verse. Thus says the Lord concerning the false prophets who make my people to err. When they have anything good to bite with their teeth, they cry, peace. He'll get up there and preach peace. He'll get up there and preach all these things because his books are selling. Everybody's buying the CD on the way out. They're buying his books and he's making so much off books, he don't have to depend on the tithes and offerings of the church because he makes so much off the books. He's merchandising. He merchandises the church. And whoever gives him nothing, though, whoever's not putting in against him, they declare a sanctified war. That's why I preach in circuits and I try to preach the whole gospel. But it doesn't make me any difference if you pay tithes and offerings or not. That's your life that's going to be messed up. That's your finances that's going to be messed up. And you'll never catch up. If you're not doing these things, you'll never catch up. But I have preached it. And the thing that you know, that all of the members know this, that don't have to be a hobby horse. How many times have we set the basket and said we need to put in for this or we need to do this? Or do God provide for those things? God's been providing, and if you're not tied in an offering, I could see what your life is in your finances. How you living, how you dressing. That's one thing. If you look at the Roman Catholic Church, it's one of the wealthiest churches in America. But one thing about the Roman Catholic Church is they do pay tithes and offerings. They do give. Those people are richly blessed because they're honoring God in that. That's why if you go borrow money, more than likely it's going to be a Catholic church loaning to you. You could be in some other church and got your lights cut off because you're in a Word of Faith church and you're ashamed to tell your pastor that you can't get your lights back on because he going to preach that holy war, that sanctified war, because he ain't going to want to loan you the money. And he know you ain't putting no money. And so he's going to preach to keep you over him, to keep you borrowing from him, and you too ashamed to tell him that you're in a bad fix. So you going to go to the... That's why you help people. Because that's how God's blessing them. That's who's been fighting for the health care of the people, the nuns within the Catholic Church. Not the priests, though. The priests are the one getting the people pregnant or getting abusing the children. That's how offering horns started. If you look at our Senate and our House of Representatives, don't they pay for, well, I don't know if they still do, they used to pay for Viagra and all these other, Levitra and all these other reproductive things? But do they want to pay for women's health care? No. They say we can't provide contraceptives for women. Okay, that sounds like a double standard. You can't provide contraceptives for women, but you can provide these things to get women pregnant by men. Is that a double standard? Sounds like a double standard to me. Why? Because you got so many old men in the Senate, in the House, who can't do nothing, who need these pills. Who need his help, but you want to fight against the women. That's why I say, it's your leaders that's corrupted these things. It's the one in power that has corrupted these things. And the preachers are not preaching these things. They're not standing there. It says that, but if any teaches otherwise and does not assent to sound and wholesome messages of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the teaching which is in agreement with godliness, a piety toward God, he is puffed up with pride and stupefied with conceit. Woefully ignorant, he has morbid fondness for controversy and disputes and strifes about words, which result to produce envy and jealousy, quarrels and dissension, abuse, insults and slander, and base suspicion. And protracted wrangling and wearing discussion and perpetual fiction among men who are corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth. They're without the truth. Who imagine that what? Godliness or righteousness is a source of profit, a money-making business, a means of livelihood. From such withdrawal. Because that's why so many of these Bible schools have seminaries now, because it's a way to get rich. And you have people paying all this money to go to the Bible school and to go to seminary because they want to be a preacher, a minister or something, to get in on the money-making rack. We want to have a 501(c), and you can fleece this amount of money. All you have to do is get a few hundred people in here, a few people buying this, and you got it made. The government's not tracking this. The government, they track it so slightly that now they're the government is having to corn down on this, and the churches are complaining, oh, but we're a charitable organization. That's why the church is so involved in politics. It's not for God. It's for gain. It's for their own well-being. It's not for God. But if you notice, the churches have become more political now than at any time in this nation's history. They're trying to protect their own pockets. Whereas a true prophet would be teaching, they would keep down. See, a false prophet's going to give you half or just pull a message out of context. That's what Satan did to Jesus. He said, cast thyself down if you're the Son of God. Turn these stones into bread. All these things is in scriptural, but he's pulling them out of context. He's using them the wrong way. That's why I say it's dangerous to use God's word the wrong way. All they had to do was keep reading. We was reading 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, 1st through the 5th verse. But watch, he says, those are people are looking at the church as a moneymaker. After you hear them preach the sermon, they'll have some young people, some people out there selling the sermon to you that you just heard. And you just paid tithes and offerings, but now you got to pay to buy that sermon again. A lot of them are not going to let those sermons out online free. And if they have a seminar or something, they're going to say, we have this tape set, or this disc set, we'll sell you for $175. We'll sell you this. We have these books we can sell you. But let's read one more verse for the true prophets, right? Keep on in that same paragraph, in that same thing. We want to leave it in this context. The 6th verse says, and it is indeed a source of immense profit. For God says, don't muzzle the ox that throw it out at the corn. So it should be profitable. The church should be profitable. Jesus doesn't do anything for nothing. There's a profit in serving God. He says, but listen at what this teaches, though. He says, godliness accompanied with contentment, that is, which is a sense of inward sufficiency, is great and abundant gain. See, it wasn't talking about monetary gain. And you can prosper. He'll see that, but I don't think God's going to make you so rich you don't have to worry about nothing else. But he's going to see that you be at peace, at joy. He's going to see that your house, even your enemies, be at peace. That you're going to be able to sleep at night. Because a lot of people got money and can't sleep at night. A lot of people that got that wife or husband that they wanted, they're not enjoying it. That was the worst thing could have happened to them. A lot of things you could get, but it's not with great joy and abundant gain to you. Woe to them, for they have run righteousness. This is coming from Jude. And Peter preaches the same message. The 11th verse says, woe to them, for they have run riotously in the way of Cain and have abandoned themselves for the sake of gain. It offers them following the error of Balaam and have perished in rebellion like that of Korah. In other words, they went against God. That's what Korah did. Say, Moses, you're not the only one God's talking to. We know. But Balaam, God had told him not to go with these people, right? But see, when they came and offered more money, he went back and asked God, can I go with this and that? But God said, if they come back, you can go. Why would you go ask God something he didn't already answer? Is God kind of have dementia or something? He's done forgotten what he told you the first time? He had told him, don't go. But see, when they increased the money, They run after these things. I can do it. I can do it. And they're giving away this, and they go down there and apply for all this. They run after wealth. They show you where your credit is good enough. You can afford this truck or car. You can afford this riding mower. You can afford these rings. It's material thing. You run after that, leaving God. That's going to take away your time from God and your giving to God, because they're not going to give it to you for free. It's going to be a hook. The devil always puts the poison on the inside. He don't show you what the end thing going to be. It's like this guy that's on television talking about smoking, but then he shows you the end result of him smoking. See, Satan will never tell you that the wages you're working for is death. The next characteristic is insatiate, and pleasure-loving. It says, lacking sense of understanding, also foolish. You'll notice that a lot of people say, he's just foolish, he don't believe in God. Some people can't understand. They ain't got good common sense. That's why God has to open up our understanding that we may understand. And they'll never get it. Have you ever talked to somebody and they keep saying yeah, and they're so dense that they say yeah, they will get it because they don't want to look dumb in front of everybody else? They're scared to ask questions. And you know they ain't got it because they've been repeating the same thing for years and years. They're consistently in this shape. They'll never get fixed because they're not confessing. Also, it's a lacking of animate awareness around. And that's how a lot of us are. We hang around for the crumbs and things. And we're living a lowly life, and he, our Father, owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But we taking peanuts, and we living, and we think we got something. You living from paycheck to paycheck. You miss one paycheck, it's out for you. It's over with. You can't make it. And you say, I'm doing fine. You sitting up and going to church and say, everything is fine. See, you stop the preacher from helping you. That's why I always reach out and say, everything all right? See, because unless you admit or confess things, why you have not? You ask not. But see, a lot of people in these churches, and I've come out of one, that they don't want to say or tell their problems, and they have so many problems, the preacher can't pray for them because they shame to tell the pastor that things ain't right at home. Things ain't right on the job. And do you know that if they do tell him, he's going to say, well, I could help you out and counsel you on that, but counseling session is $100 an hour. Who heard of most churches now, the preacher give them a few months counseling, but they're paying for that counseling. And you're still not living right after that because it's all a farce. Lacking humane feelings. You ever seen people in church that treat other people any kind of way? And that's how preachers are. That's how some wives are with the husband. The husbands are with the wives. The husbands and wives are with the children. That's how you are with you. You don't treat people in a humane way. You don't have feelings. And these preachers of Joel and Micah talks about it. They take every penny these people got. They'll skin them. And some people. And the preachers are not saying this. The preachers are not telling them. But the people love to have it. So don't preach on that because you go upset the apple cart. That's why it's not being preached on it, because the people love to have it where they are. They're comfortable where they are. Isaiah, what talks about that, the 56th chapter, the 10th through the 12th verse, he says, Israel's watchmen are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Dreaming, lying down, they love to slumber. These preachers don't get into the Bible and study it to teach the people the word of God. He says, yes, the dog, they never have enough. Such are the shepherds who cannot understand. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his own gain from every quarter. Come, say they, We will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, a day great and beyond measure. Now, they love the party. They love get-togethers. They're not afflicted in mourning. Everybody's a party. And some of these people love to, on their payday, feed everybody around. Invite everybody. Go out to dinner and everything. But where's God at in that? And the preachers are not preaching this to the people. But this is throwing away your blessing. God said we need to be faithful stewards. Have you thought about God before you do all that? God is not in all of their thoughts. Because when it comes time for God, you turn and walk away. But the false prophets will make sure he get his. If you notice, most churches, and there's a lot of them now, of these Word of Faith churches, going to require W-2 form. They're going to withhold it. They got a form where they could withhold it out your check, just like they withhold taxes. They'll get theirs directly deposited. Now, we don't care about the rest of this stuff. He won't hear. The preacher can want to hear, and that church can want there. The characteristics of false prophets is they scatter the flock. That's why some of the flocks are scattered, because the people are not living right. The preachers are not preaching right. And after the preacher sitting there, he preaching on tithes and offering all the time, they turn and go because they feel it's all about the money and they're doing the best they can. What it is, he not giving them any rice and gravy, any meat. You understand? He giving them just dessert. Everything is sweet and juicy. Well, when I was coming up, my mama used to always have that pot of beans and rice for us. That'll hold you. That should hold you. That's why the gospel has to be preached. Paul said, I hadn't failed to declare the whole counsel of God to you. You have to have the counsel of God in every area of your life. You have to have it preached about everything. Not unbalanced teaching about just tithe and offerings and blessings and sickness and health. But it's just like a balanced meal. You have to have your green vegetables. You have to have your carrots and tomatoes. You have to have your starches, your carbohydrates, your fiber, your protein. You have to have a balanced meal. They're not giving you a balanced meal. And that scatters the flock. Jeremiah 23:2 says, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for and feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited and attended to them. Behold, I will visit and attend to you for the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. If you leave here, if you leave a church, the pastor necessarily should ask you, why did you leave? Why did you leave? Most churches used to require a letter to come to that church. You leave one church, you go to another one. Okay, if you want to say it's about doctrine or teaching or preaching or whatever, I could understand that you can go. I could understand that because everybody's not going to do it, this doctrine or teaching. But if you say that it's for a personal reason, or you pick something on about that I'm not doing that's scriptural, I'll try to come over and talk with you. Me and Brother Bazil, he called me the other day, and he said, let's get together and drink some coffee and talk or whatever. And he said, because I'm wondering, and he said, I noticed the truth that you're preaching. But, you see, if you got a problem with the doctrine that we're preaching and teaching, you really have a serious problem, because it ain't going to change. The doctrine's not going to change. But if it's something that I'm personally doing that's not scriptural, and I don't have a humane, any of these characteristics here that the false prophet does have, if it seems as I don't care about you, I didn't ask you why you didn't come. I'm not trying to be nosy if I come to your house or whatever because you didn't attend church. Most of the time, I depend on the deacon or somebody else to tell me why you didn't come or find out. But I want to come personally, though. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to come by a person or call me or something, because a sheep don't show up. I want to know what's wrong with the sheep. I don't want the church to get so big that this person said, well, you went to his hospital or you checked out why he missed. If that spot is empty, and that's why a lot of churches like you to sit in the same spot. If that spot, I need to find out where that lamb at. I need to find out where that sheep at. Why did he leave? Now, if some leave and some is left because of this and that, that, all right. Oh, you understand that? Because we're going to have to give account for those that God put in our way. That's just like your children. Your children don't go to school. They're going to lock you up nowadays for truancy. If anything happens, you're responsible for that child up to a certain point. After you get a certain age, it's on him. They lead the sheep astray. Jeremiah 50:6. My people have been lost sheep. The shepherds have led them astray. On mountains, they have gone from one sin to another. Mountain to mountain and hill to hill. No resting place. They prey upon the flock instead of feeding the flock. There are hirelings forsake the sheep. A true shepherd don't forsake the sheep. It says, but the hired servant, he who merely serves for wages, is who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of sheep. When he sees the wolf coming, deserts the flock and runs away. And the wolf chases and snatches them and scatters the flock. So these people, after Israel was scattered, had run away or whatever, it was their fault and they had to answer to God. But a true prophet, he's going to get your blood off his hand. You'll see later on where Ezekiel says that he tell them, I made you a watchman, and their blood's going to be required of your hand. But if you warn them and tell them, and they don't turn from their ways, they don't do. So if something happens to y'all, something or whatever, it's not because I hadn't warned y'all. I'm going to warn you. It's a lot of things happen to members of churches, but that pastor have to make sure that he's didn't warn them that their blood's not on his hand. But if he hadn't warned them, that's what a false prophet does. He doesn't warn the people. And he warned them by preaching the whole counsel of God. And Jesus said, we will this land or whatever. But there were more strong warnings given about false prophets than anything else. Matthew 7:15 is where Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come in dressed as sheep, but inside they are devouring wolves. Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive and lead many into error. And that's the point where we're at today. He's warning you that you're being led away. Your children are being led away because they're not faithful with their parents or whatever. So they get in another religion, another church, listening at their friends or somewhere else. They go astray. But as I was telling the brother I was talking to the other day, okay, forget that. What you need to do is stay focused and you need to follow God. God has to take that child through what he has to go through. But if you live right, for David's sake, God didn't do a lot to Solomon. If you would live right for your sake, God will allow your children to come through. He'll give your children opportunity. Because he's listening at your prayer. Not that they don't have the answer for their own self. Not that they don't, that you don't keep telling them. Don't stop telling them, but don't provoke them to anger to where now it's offensive and y'all don't have a dialogue. But you trust in God and not yourself to do these things. God heals that breach. He just wants you to stand and be the one there. Because a lot of... See, and that's what's wrong. We don't talk to one another about our problem. That's why it says it's not good for man to be alone. The saints got together and they was telling one another, look, that's how teenagers, that's how young people is. That's how some of these people are. Mind doing the same thing. But see, in a lot of these churches, they don't even know one another. They don't even know one another. But then when you sit down and see that this person has problems like I have, but they some people sitting up there like they ain't got no problems, and they go home, and boy, they really in problem. But nobody at church knows, so they're not praying about it. A lot of people stand up, pray for me, my children doing that.
But see, that's how you don't have friends. That's why a lot of people don't. Because to be a friend, you have to act as a friend. When nobody gonna want to be your friend, they always telling you their problem, what's going on. But you don't ever tell them nothing about yourself. A friend, that's why Jesus said, you are my friends, and he told them close things. Why? Because then in prayer, he would tell them close things. A friend discusses, but I'm telling you about my children, and you don't say nothing about your children? Pretty soon, y'all don't have nothing in common. Pretty soon, you don't have nothing in common. You don't have no problems. So it's all fine with you. I need to find somebody with problems. And me and them are talking about these things. And I could feel I'm talking to somebody that can empathize with me. But if you can't empathize with me, that's why the false prophet, they can't relate to people, because it's not a spiritual connection there. They hadn't been through what you're going through. He says, Matthew 22, false Christ and false prophets will arise and show signs and miracles to deceive and lead astray. Hey, you may be in a church for a while, but then when you see what's wrong or you see something and you fought true, you will get away from that. You will stand up. But you're not elect if you go along with it, or you allow that deception. If you stay under deception, you stay under something long enough, you could become apathetic. You ain't gonna want to get. So what are we doing to show our love for God? Are we studying His Word? Because if you're studying His Word and faithful to Him, He's not going to let you be deceived. You are like to Him. You're talking to God, praying. That's how the false prophets come in there. You idle and don't know the Word of God. That's how if Jesus didn't know the Scriptures, Satan would have cheered them up, because there's a lot of people, different religions, they come up and say something that sounds scripture and then take it out of context of that is scripture and you go along with it. But you say, well, look, how does this, even if it's scripture, say, well, look, how did this glorify God that an angel did this for you and you was in this kind of, you was in trouble doing this, you was sinning, and then an angel come in, where's the principle here? Well, I knew this was God. God to provide. That's why it's a lot of my relatives I stay around from. Because you in this bigger trouble here, and I'm trying to tell you that you got a problem here. And you say, you know, we all serve the same God. No, we don't either. Something wrong here. Jesus says, but look to yourselves and be on guard. I have told you everything beforehand. Told the people early about these false prophets. He kept warning them. And you'll see on those scriptures, I got the warnings against false teachers. Matthew 5, 19, 15 and 9. 1 Timothy 1 and 7, 4 and 2. Matthew 5 and 19 says, whoever then breaks one, does away with, or relaxes one of these least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who practices them and teaches them to others to do so shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So true prophets teach God's laws and His commandments. We're not under the law. We're under grace, right? And liberty. But that means that if you're breaking God's laws and commandments, you don't know God's laws and commandments, or you don't care about God's laws and commandments. Because if you're under liberty, you following God and you love His commandments. Right? But if you don't know the commandments, if you don't know the Word of God, if you don't know what's in here, how are you not going to not do it or not know that something is wrong? It's 15:7, they are ambitious to be doctors of the law, teachers of the Mosaic riches, but they have no understanding either of the words and terms they use or of the subjects about which they make dogmatic assertions. Now we recognize and know that what the law is good. Well, I'm going into that about the law. Paul was talking about people who say they are apostles or preachers or doctors or whatever they like to be called, doctors. But bishop. But when they preach these things about the law, they don't understand. They
they don't understand the principle or the interpretation of it. They'll go back about foods, unclean foods, and okay, your food doesn't commend you to God. But what was God was using in the Word of God, food in the Old Testament, as an example of being unclean, he was putting a difference between his people and the people of the time. And he uses that as a type and shadow in the Old Testament when talking to Peter in the book of Acts about Cornelius, and he let down the sheet about clean and unclean, and Peter says he had not eaten anything that was unclean any time in his life. But God says what he called, what he has cleansed, let no man call unclean. He was giving him an example about going to Cornelius. That's what the trance was about. Going to the Gentile's house, which was considered unclean to the Jews. They were unclean. So food was the analogous to the Gentiles in that. And he wasn't talking about he didn't change the pork to being clean. That he didn't change the things that he said in his law was unclean, because Noah knew about unclean and clean animals. That's why he took, what, seven of one in the ark and two of the other in the ark. He took pairs of each animal, but of the unclean animals and the clean animals, he took varying amounts. And the law was hadn't even been thought about being printed before that time. Moses was nowhere born. Abraham wasn't even here. And Noah knew about unclean animals, so that has nothing to do with the law. So to preach that and teach that about being of the law, that's why Paul comes back and say, you know more of the less if you eat or don't eat of these things. It's what it stands for. It's the analogy behind that. And as I'm closing that, wanted to talk because me and my son just now was talking about it, and I had watched the game, and he was saying that I watched the last part of the game when cleaning the aquarium, and I was thinking about y'all. Denver and Seattle. That should have been the Super Bowl game. But you see, when I told y'all the other day I was giving up on the NFL, it's like when God said he gave up on Ephraim. In other words, nothing is wrong with football. Watching football. But when you become idolized football and football becomes your God and you places that before God, like I say, the Super Bowl, and this game, Seattle and Denver, was the same game as the Super Bowl with less hype. Less people saw this game than the Super Bowl game, but it was much better than the Super Bowl game because they didn't idolize that. I didn't even know it was on, and I was cleaning the aquarium. I seen it was on, and I started watching. It was a very good game, and now they're saying this week that should have been the Super Bowl game. See, but what you make an idol, it turns into vanity and nothingness. The Super Bowl really is not nothing. So when you go to idolizing football players or idolizing anything, that's when it becomes wrong in your life. But everything God made was good. He made and created everything good. Man perverted it and changed it. Man messed up football. Man messed up baseball. Man messed up basketball. Man messed up marriage. What is man doing with marriage now? Women and women, men and men. But marriage is still, the marriage bed is undefiled. So it's going to be a time, he said, that they're going to teach to abstain from marriage. No. God created marriage, but you didn't pervert marriage, but I'm not going to preach against marriage, but it's a defiled bed if two women in it, if two men in it. But the Bible does say marriage is undefiled. One is sanctified by the other. But what have you done to it? What have you done to God's creation? Are you wholly serving God? So, all things, God put different things, so don't go tell people that we preach the football is a no-brainer. We can't watch football. I didn't tell you that. Oh, we can't eat catfish. We can't eat this. I didn't tell you that. But I told you, anybody been understanding the teachers on how I'm teaching against those things about it? Oh, but we mad at our wife and cheering her. It says it's going to be division. Huh? I didn't tell you to divide from that. The Bible even says about hate in that. But if you get under a teaching of a prophet, a true prophet, a teacher of God, he'll give you an understanding of what he said. But the Bible is not meant for the natural-minded man, because you're going to think carnally about it.